2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST to get 20% off each month of your subscription by signing up with us. With that, you get access to the Domination Station, our Slack chat channel, which is always functioning, and of course, VIP tools and articles to help you customize your lineups. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST for 20% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall at BoomersDFSDaddy. First day of December, payday, all sorts of new wind blowing around the trees and whatnot. It's a lovely day outside, but damn glad to be here. Good night for a lot of our Army members last night. Just what's up, my man?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the one that loses all the bets.
Whoa. Now, the...
No. Don't even try to justify this.
Well... I will, because this is a podcast, and it's interesting to debate it, but again, Sarich last night, 34 FanDuel points, certainly nothing to sneeze at, but the bar was set to 42, and Sarich did not reach those, so I will honor that $10 bet. Honestly, I wasn't even thinking about it, so thank you for bringing it up. It had already left my mind.
You tried to freaking defend it last night in Slack. You were sitting there going,
That was last night, and then I woke up today and completely forgot about it. Yeah, I get intense dreams, brother. Intense ones.
Yeah, they must be intense. So
that Z-Quil isn't loaded with peaches and cream. You know, it's good stuff. So you win that. I will be sending you $10. Or could this potentially pave the way for a double or nothing bet today?
We'll see where today goes.
Since I didn't send it yet, and we got plenty of games to get to. So that is on the table. Just a lot of injury news and tags that we're going to be going through position by position. So definitely keep up with that. And again, too, by the time this podcast comes out, I'm sure we'll already know some of the designations for these guys. So it should work out pretty well. Without any further ado, ready to get into it?
Let's get it.
Let's do it. All right, we'll try to keep this under an hour, which everyone always loves, the sweet spot. But let's talk about point guards tonight. Your boy Russ is on the slate. We got Stephen Curry, who's actually listed as probable, and a great matchup here against the Orlando Magic. We've got a situation with Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones. Blah. Where are we beginning here, Keith?
I think you've got to start with all of those guys. I'm not trying to be funny about it. I just think you do.
It was funny, though. It was funny. I laughed.
I'm sure you did. You sit there, you look at it. It's one of those things that you've got to make the decision. Are you going to go Russ, who's a little bit banged up with that hand? He's going to be fine. He's going to play. I'm not worried about that. In a matchup where he's kind of excelled over the last couple meetings today against Minnesota, are you going to go with Steph, who we just saw what Russ did, but he's dealing with a hand issue of his own? Are you going to just say, screw it, and go to Kyle Lowry? Are you going to go to Elfrid Payton in a good matchup? I think people are going to chase that. Are you going to go to Chris Dunn on the back end of a back-to-back? I think there's a lot of different options here. Assuming Teague and Curry and Westbrook are all good to go, my favorite is probably Steph Curry just because of the price.
You got adjusted DVP, great for point guards against Orlando.
Yep. It's just, I think Russ's ceiling is higher, but I'm not, because I want other guys, as well. I might be on the lower end of the totem pole for us.
Okay. And then also, too, another situation with Steph Curry. If Klay Thompson, who's listed as questionable, misses tonight's game, that opens up a lot more three-point attempts for him. Certainly something that we got to take
a
look at.
See, I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
And the reason is because we've talked about this Warriors team being so reliant on spacing and ball movement. Nick Young and, Patrick McCaw and Sean Livingston, they don't open up the floor like Klay does. Now, it's not going to be that bad because of the fact that you still got Durant, but I mean, it's kind of one of those things like, you know, are you going to, because Klay's, we were talking about this before the game, Klay's the only one that hasn't missed.
Right.
So if he does miss, which is a very real possibility, I mean, who are they going to put in the starting lineup? I would assume it's probably Patrick McCaw.
Yeah, McCaw probably going to go in there. Swaggy P getting a couple bench minutes.
He's probably going to get 25.
Somebody, it was funny the other day, right? Now, their last game was against the Lakers, and somebody said, he's probably going to be jacking up 100 shots or whatever. But it's like, yeah, guess what? They still got to go in. That is the story.
Yeah, but you give me a guy on the Warriors that's going to be the guy that, you know, is his job is just come in and jack up shots, that's going to play 25 minutes at min price and not going to have the attention of the defense as much as everybody else. You know, he's still going to have Draymond, Durant, Iguodala, and Curry on the floor to help relieve some of the pressure. That's what she said. I don't mind it. Now, it depends on who starts, because I want the one coming off the bench for ownership purposes. Because I have a feeling if McCaw starts, because of what he did the last time he started, in a completely different situation, mind you. Okay. He went off. I think everybody's going to go straight there.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a lot of traps today based on recent performances and recency bias that I think people are going to go to. And the other side of the equation, and we're sitting here talking a bunch about shooting guards. We're not even there yet. Anyways, we'll talk about – there's my theory on shooting guards for a lot of them. But, yeah, I mean, out of the top, let's see, 6, 7, 8 point guards, we only have 1, 2, 3 that are completely healthy. So,
okay. Another, just according to the numbers here, some guys that might be decent, Goran Dragic, Tyler Johnson, two guys that are really disappointed, but they get a Hornets team tonight that is the third best matchup, according to adjusted DVP. No Kemba Walker tonight for the Charlotte Hornets. So that's another situation where people might go to Michael Carter-Williams. But again, we talked about that last time where the guy in the better position, probably going to be a Nick Batum, probably going to be a Jeremy Lamb, Malik Monk, even sort of viable in that situation as well. But with Miami, could you trust Dragic or TJ here?
I don't know how you can. Like, I want to attack it. Mm-hmm. But, like, look at Dragic's minutes over the last two. 23-23.
Oh, that's disgusting. Well, actually, both were blowouts.
Okay. I mean, at least Tyler Johnson's playing more minutes.
Yes, that's true.
Neither one of them are really in the offense. I don't really – especially – I can't play Dragic. Like, his cap is 30,
33. Yep. Tyler Johnson been playing the good game, bad game saga and scheduled for a bad one tonight. So there's that. A situation that we will be diving into today on the Slack chat channel, of course. There's another point guard duo. Again, I'm not interested in it, but maybe you can, you know, shed some light on somebody who might do well here. But we've got the Sacramento Kings, who find themselves with a top 10 matchup, according to just a DVP against the point guards. But De'Aaron Fox, George Hill, any either of those guys intrigue you? Both are 4,700 on FanDuel. You got Frank Mason in that mix as well.
I think I would be more apt to go to Frank Mason.
I hate Sacramento with their damn hockey line changes. I can't stand them.
Because here's something to think about is, like, who's the best point guard on that team right now?
Oh, man. I mean, of course, I think raw talent, De'Aaron Fox, but, yeah, coach ain't thinking that way. Wants the rookie to get some seasoning under his belt, which, by the way, I think is fantastic for the Kings long term, that they have a young unit and then they have an older unit to mentor all these guys. I think it's gonna work out. I think it's gonna work wonders for him down the road. But for fantasy, makes me want to rip what little hair I have left.
So you just said that the best point guard that they have on the team is De'Aaron Fox.
That's correct.
I think you're absolutely completely nuts because he's not playing like it.
But he is.
No, I mean, he's not.
Not that he's not playing like it, but he is the best point guard on that team.
No, he's not. Not right now.
He got drafted in one of the top picks.
I'm talking right now.
Yeah, I'm not talking right now, too.
No, he's not. Go look at the numbers. Frank Mason is outplaying him over the last 3 weeks.
I don't care. Numbers lie when they don't fit my agenda.
Frank Mason looks 5,000 times better than De'Aaron Fox does right now. I would say that De'Aaron Fox's ceiling is probably higher, but Frank Mason is the best point guard on that team right now.
I will not go hand in hand with you on that one. Now, he's providing before last night Alec Burke-like numbers. Doing pretty well here, I would say. What are we looking at? Like 6-7x value here in 4 of the last 5 games. So,
for who?
For Frank Mason.
Yeah. So, I mean, because his ownership is so low, he's staying extremely low priced. And because he doesn't have a ceiling. Like, he's not getting enough run for him to be viable in anything other than like a cash game.
Right.
It's just one of those things. Like, I just can't play these point guards because, like, it's a 3-man rotation. You don't know who's going to play 20 minutes. You don't know who's going to play 30 minutes. Like, I would much rather, honestly, try to figure out the shooting guard rotation, where it's Garrett Temple, Buddy Hield, and Bojan Bogdanovic, because at least they're playing all, well, except for when somebody gets absolutely completely hot. You know, they're playing 25 minutes a game. I don't know. There's 6 of these guys in the backcourt that you have to try to decipher between. And it's not fun on any given night because they're all a lot of the same skill set, except for Buddy. Buddy's just he's a come in and chuck it kind of guy.
Buddy ball.
But I promise you, the dude can get – we've seen it before. The dude can get absolutely completely hot. But, you know, this is just – it's a place you want to attack. I just don't know who you can attack it with.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
you can't play any of them in cash games.
No, not at all. Just a couple of situations I want to keep everybody aware of, okay? So Ish Smith went bananas last game, gets a price increase here in this game against the Washington Wizards, we'll talk about in a second. But keep in mind, Ish got a lot of run in blowout time against the Phoenix Suns. That was
nearly the same amount of run that he's normally been getting.
Okay, it's a... Again, two with the Suns, nearly perfect matchup in that situation.
I agree. That was a lot to do with it. But he's still only played 20 minutes.
Right. But again, Ish with the price increase. Again, just don't go chasing that, guys. And then, that situation with the Wizards, who you brought it up before the show, but Thomas Satoransky is getting some minutes. So, again, I was never really a big Tim Frazier fan, but that certainly eats into the
ceiling. He served his purpose one day.
He did. He certainly did. But he got a, what's he at, 4,000 there on FanDuel. Actually, Satoransky's at 4,600 on FanDuel, which was pretty interesting. But nonetheless, just a situation that I do not want to be involved in. And
yeah, I've kind of figured out that FanDuel, they're kind of why their price, they put a higher weight probably, I'm assuming, on ownership this year.
Okay.
Because if a guy's like 30% owned, you notice his price skyrockets.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
All right, let's make this transition from point guards to shooting guards, because the point guard of the Utah Jazz kind of ties into what we can do with the shooting guards today. So Ricky Rubio and a Jazz going to be on the back end of a back-to-back. So going into Utah. So I don't think that they're going to extend Rubio too much. I think this is going to open up. And again, it matters what happens with Rodney Hood today, if he's going to be in the lineup. But I think that this opens up more minutes, more scoring opportunities for Donovan Mitchell, Alec Burks, who was the hero of last night's slate. Yeah, I know that we're going to disagree on this, but I mean, Alec Burks is a guy that, I mean, he is talented. Like, this talent with him really hasn't come out of nowhere. I know injuries have really not derailed his career, but kind of sidetracked it so far at this point. The guy looked amazing. Like, I actually read an article about Burks, last night after the game, basically saying that, and I thought this was funny because you like look at what he's done over the last few games. They're saying that that recent East Coast trip that the Jazz were on, it was just an absolute disaster for Burks. And, you know, you look at that and he's still netting you probably like, what, 6-7x value, and especially at his price today. Again, if he's going to be aggressive against this NOLA team that, you know, again, they're not that great defensively against opposing backcourts. But again, if he's going to still be aggressive and continue to work on the things that he's been working on, I just think it's a no brainer at that price.
Okay. I don't know if I could go there. Mm-hmm. Back end of back to back going into Utah scares me. It doesn't quite scare me as much considering it's, Utah and they're going home,
mm-hmm.
but it does still kind of scare me. So I'm not sure if I really want to go there. I'm definitely not playing Alec Burke. Alec Burks. It's Trey Burke and Alec Burks. I always got them mixed up.
People were scaring me last night. I'm like, what? He's back on the Jazz?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going there. In fact, I know I'm not. I'll let everybody else kind of chase that. Good luck. Let me know how it works out for you. In fact, you don't even need to let me know how it works out for you. I know how it's going to work out for you. But the key is that, you know, you've got – the key is you got Joe Ingles, who can do the same thing, a lot of the same thing. You got Donovan Mitchell, who didn't get a lot of shot attempts. He still had a pretty decent game, but didn't get a lot of shot attempts because of the fact that, you know, Burks was going nuts. What if Rodney Hood's back? I mean, he hasn't played in two games, but, you know, maybe they just sent –
Yeah, I mean, again, if Hood and Nato are out, if Hood and Nato are out, it certainly, you know, does more for the outlook of Burks, Mitchell as well. You know, again, those back-to-back reasons are certainly noted. And, again, I just think Burks' price is just way too cheap to pass up. I mean, we're talking 100 off the minimum. Off the new minimum that FanDuel has set there at $3,500.
It's easy to pass up in tournaments. Okay, after last night, what do you think? Okay, say Nato and Hood is out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think his ownership's going to be after last night?
probably, like, let's say we're talking about the $4 clutch shot on FanDuel, right? Massive GPP, probably 60%.
Okay, so is there any way that he hits what he did last night?
No. Last night, no, absolutely not. But still a guy that can return upwards of about 10x value if he's going to get 29 minutes again and be the focal point of an offense that, you know, has really just kind of gone a massive
makeover
now without Rudy Gobert.
If Alec Burks beats me twice in two nights, I will give you I'll give you the $10 back.
All right. How about that? That'll be the double or nothing bet.
Because he's not – okay, fine. Because there's no way he's getting 36 tonight.
I'll give you
a straight 10x multiplier.
All right.
There's fair no enough. Way. Because he needs a minimum of 36 to start hurting me.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. And again, to the situation is also gonna, and again, bet nullified if Hood and all these other guys.
Yes, there's the caveat to that. If Hood or Nato play, done. It's out. So because here's the situation, because we're talking about this. Like, I would much rather go to McCaw or Swaggy P over Burke if Clay's out. You know?
Here's the other thing, right?
Ooh,
so
FanDuel.
Kind of the indirect impact of all this, right? When you go with Burks is going to be the lineup construction. So you're going to be able to fit in pretty much – you know, whatever high upper tier price guy that you want, especially if we find another guy today that's going to just slide into a huge role at minimum price, you know, you're going to have a lot of like stars on your team and everything like that. So again, if Burks puts up 30, again, you're still going to have that opportunity to make it up with a lot of good talent that you'll have as well on that slate. So, I think the opportunity is great. But, I mean, you bring up a good point here, too, going with McCaw, Swaggy P, something like that, where, you know, your lineup construction is massively different than a lot of other people. So,
and then again, I can go and I can also double nullify the Burke.
You trying to triple stamp a double stamp?
Yeah, I'm trying to triple stamp a double stamp and just play Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay. I mean, yeah. Because people aren't going to play both of them. They're going to go, if it's all the same, they're going to go to Burke after what he did last night.
Sure.
You know, in what is arguably probably just as good of a matchup, but not like, okay, it's a better matchup, actually. so, yeah, I mean, I just...
Let me ask you something. Did you watch that game last night?
I have not rewatched. Dude, I've watched Alec Burks play for years. Like, that's fine. I know the guy's got talent and everything. I'm just saying that's his ceiling game.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to chase somebody after their ceiling game because their ownership is going to be inflated, especially coming off of a short slate. And now he's the same price, and if the situation is the same – and now he's quote unquote at home. And it's just, we've capitalized off of this spot. How many times this year?
Numerous.
It's perfect.
He just absolutely popped off the screen last night and I'm going to go way over. I'm going to blow this way out of proportion, but he popped off the screen last night like a LeBron, like a Giannis. Like, his game last night was unbelievable. Like, he was just fantastic, flawless last night. So, again, if he's going to be in the groove, hopefully he doesn't lose that groove within 24 hours. Because, again, whatever he ate before last night's game, that should be his new routine because he was amazing. Fantastic. All right, let's talk about other shooting guards because, believe it or not, there are some. Victor Oladipo, Bradley Beal going to be at the top of tonight's slate. Beal's a guy that I think a lot of people have forgotten about, again, especially with John Wall. A lot of opportunity to do some great things. However, probably going to draw Avery Bradley tonight. Not something that I'm very interested in. I think a guy like Victor Oladipo, who, again, shooting guards, done pretty well against Toronto. when we're looking at adjusted DVP. But I've got Oladipo over Beal. What do you think?
You can't play Oladipo at 8,600 on FanDuel.
Pay up to be contrarian. You're going to have some extra salary left over if you go the Burks or the Swaggy or the McCall route.
I'd rather play DeMar DeRozan.
What? Whoa.
He's under 8K.
I gotta clean my earphones out real quick.
Dude, you're talking about – okay, listen to this. This is another
situation. It's a new day, folks. It's a new day.
His two best games over the last 2 weeks have been against Orlando.
Oladipo.
Yes.
Okay, I thought we were talking about DeRozan. Okay. No. I got you.
So now all of a sudden, yes, I understand the matchup between McCall, who's actually not a bad defender, and, you know, it's better than if Clay was in there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my interest is higher if Clay's out in that sense. But you're talking about him hitting his two ceiling games and now going up to 8,600, but he hit it against Orlando. Like, his former team, revenge narrative, all that good stuff, you know, like, he doesn't have that same type of motivation. Actually, wait, he's not even playing for Orlando. He plays for Indiana now against Toronto. DeMar DeRozan's not a bad defender.
No, he's not.
Sorry, I'm just, wow. You got me all kinds of, like,
Wow.
You can't play Victor Oladipo at 8,600.
I wanted to bring this up here. Let's see.
Dude, like, how are we even having this conversation? He needs, what is it? Oh, my gosh. 8.6 times. He needs 54. 54. That's an easy. I would much rather play DeMar DeRozan against Indiana at 78.
Okay, I get the appeal there. Okay, wait, we gotta have a discussion about it. The one thing I will say,
let's
though,
have a discussion on guys that are in play.
You get actually these two teams. They're like, now we got two games tonight where Golden State Orlando, both teams are on normal rest. Indiana Toronto. Again, both guys are on normal rest. These are, you know, recent history. These Indiana-Toronto games have been pretty good. You know, lots of scoring in them, too. So we didn't even mention the point guards in that game, which I really liked. But Lowry, Collison there. But yeah,
I don't like Collison as much just because I think he defers to Depot too much. Like, I'm not saying that Depot can't have a good game, guys. This is not what I'm saying. Please do not take – I'm saying – that when you start taking in ownership into effect with, you know, price and production and, you know, perceived, like, a lot of these things, like, mm-hmm. That's where I get, like, I've got a chart. And this chart has served us very, very well this year, now that I've put it into, you know, number standpoints. And you're not going to get it unless you're part of the DFS Army. That's for damn sure.
Hell no.
But, damn, like, there's just so many other plays. There's so many better plays, especially if Clay's out. Like, you can go to Jeremy Lamb. You can go to Drew Holiday. You can go to Donovan Mitchell, DeMar DeRozan. Hell, Bradley Beal, even though that's a pay-style game. And he's going to see
Avery Bradley. And, again, going against Avery Bradley.
I just said it. you can go against Deion Waiters. Or you can go to Deion Waiters. You can go to Nicholas Batum. Hell, you could even probably go to freaking Avery Bradley himself.
Whoa. High praise.
Like, here's another one that we haven't talked about. Evan Fournier is now shooting guard eligible on FanDuel again.
I like it. And cheap.
I love it. Are you kidding me? Getting him out of that small forward freaking, like, yes.
Yes.
Hey.
Now, Frenchie, by the way, not the greatest you know, numbers here over the last however many games. Keep in mind, though, Terrence Ross is going to be out for a while. That opens a lot more things up for Fournier, a lot more opportunities, a lot more chances. Yes. Like it. Love it. Want some more. And, again, if Clay is out for tonight's game, much bigger upgrade to the matchup.
Yeah, and like I said, if Clay's out, I want whoever's not starting for Golden State.
Gotcha.
And would it surprise you, honestly, let's talk about this. Would it surprise you, honestly, if they turned around and popped off with maybe not. I was going to say, they tried to go big. I mean, it's got to be one of those two, right? Like, there's nobody else that they have off the bench that – I mean, I guess they could start Quinn Cook if he didn't get put back down in the D League or the G League. He was assigned to the G League on Wednesday, so he's out.
Do things for your pride. I don't know. Maybe Livingston's not a guy that I'm ever playing in DFS. I'm just saying maybe he picks up a couple more minutes. Maybe they go Iguodala a little more. I mean, he's probable for tonight. Maybe,
but Omri that means Caspi, they're going big.
Maybe Omri Caspi can get himself involved in the mix.
I think it's Livingston, it's McCaw, and it's
Swaggy.
Yes, thank you,
Swag P. He's growing up. We got to take the Y off his name, Swag P. So yes, all fantastic options there. Just running down some guys here, shooting guard position. You mentioned Dion Waiters, again, without Hassan Whiteside. I think that certainly gets a bit of an upgrade. I don't mind. What the hell's his name? Chalmers is supposed to be back tonight for the Grizzlies. So, you know, again, this is also the back end of a home-and-home set with the Grizzlies and the Spurs. So for however unappealing that matchup was, you know, sprinkle a little more unappealingness to it because that's there. I think that'll do it. That'll do it.
Is this the ultimate Tyreek Evans troll spot?
I sure as hell hope not.
Me too, because I'm not playing him.
Nah.
I mean, his price has gone down. Who the hell is Kobe Simmons? No, his price has gone down to 6,900. I'm willing to go back to Danny Green. The minutes are still there. I still think he's got, 35 point upside at $4,600. I'm willing to go back there, possibly.
Okay.
Depending. It really does depend. A lot of what the roster construction is going to do is it's going to be dependent on who's active and who's not. So you need to have Jimbo Fisher has put his Christmas tree outside his house to be picked up as garbage.
Damn. Breaking news.
And it looks like it's not even a real tree. It looks like it's a fake tree at that.
Nothing wrong with a fake tree.
Oh no, not wrong at all. But it's just funny because everything's pointing to Jimbo Fisher going to Texas A&M.
Wow, very, very crazy. All right, let's talk about small forwards on this slate. What are we looking at here?
I mean, you got to start with Kevin Durant.
KD going up against the Orlando Magic, priced $10,100 on the FanDuel. Good matchup. So again, too, no Clay. Certainly ups his shot attempts and whatnot. So I dig it. Let's see some of these situations, man. We got Paul George. Now, I'm sure he's going to draw the...
Oh, never mind. It is just been announced 30 seconds ago. Jimbo Fisher leaving for Texas A&M won't coach Florida State on Saturday.
Probably going to go to Texas A&M. Very good. All right, Paul George on the slate. I'm not a fan of it. Probably going to see some Jimmy Butler defense.
Before you say that, you want to know what he's done against Minnesota in both matchups this year?
Do tell me, please.
42.3 or 43.2 and a 42.
Okay. I'm a fan.
So I think for – does that change it real quick?
Yeah, I guess you could.
I mean, that's not great. For his price, but you got to consider he's not going to be highly owned because of the quote unquote going against Jimmy Butler. So okay.
Hey, that's why we do the podcast, yeah, so we can discuss it.
I mean, you're sitting there and you're looking at you need a 53, but the ownership's not going to be that high, so.
All right. Going down the totem pole on price, Jonathan Simmons probably move into the – well, I believe he already did move into that starting role for the Magic, but 5,100, no Jonathan Ross. Pace-up game.
Terrence Ross, you mean?
What did I say?
Jonathan Ross.
That's neither here nor there. here's a guy. Here's a guy that you've been quite fond of. Without John Wall in the lineup, Kelly Oubre Jr. has really stepped it up here.
Yes, he has.
Yes, he has. Uh-oh. So going back to this wall.
Joseph said he's had tonight's game in Toronto circled since the schedule came out. His teammates have been generous with their tickets. He's expecting 30 to 40 family and friends in attendance.
Wow. Were you reading this on the Twitter machine?
On the Twitter machine, yes, sir. This came from the Indiana beat writer tonight.
Okay. Must be reputable. So, yeah, like that Oubre move right there.
It's a tougher matchup tonight. It's a tougher matchup tonight. He's not cheap anymore, but I don't mind it. I mean, Stanley Johnson is a better defender, but I think that, and this is kind of a pace down game for, because they've been playing Beal at the one and Oubre at the two, and Porter at the three. So they've been playing a little bit bigger. If they go smaller, they'll move Porter down to the four and Morris down to the five. So, I mean, there's options that they can do to get good matchups. But, yeah, I mean, since Wall's been out, Oubre's played 31 and 28 minutes. And if anybody knows that Scotty Brooks likes to run his starters into the ground, it's me.
All right. Oh, here's one. And this actually worked out pretty well in the last game, despite Miami getting their holes blown out. But without Hassan Whiteside in the lineup, Josh Richardson, like a new man emerges when Whiteside's out of the lineup.
I was looking at that, and I was no way.
Yeah. So 4,500 on FanDuel tonight for Richardson. He plays 30 minutes in that last game there without Whiteside. Again, 28 FanDuel points in that last one, three steals there. Again, this is – I don't know if it's been documented, but it's certainly something that I've been screaming from the rooftops since I found out about it earlier this season. But, yeah, Richardson's the guy there. And, again, too, like these are things that you're not going to find in the usage rate without this guy off the floor and blah, blah, blah. It's just, again, this is a matchup that has worked. Now, granted, not my favorite matchup here going up against Charlotte, but, again, it's something that I will definitely make aware to the people.
Yeah, I think you can. I think you can, depending on how many lineups, because Michael Kidd, of course, is not a bad defender, at all.
I would even say he's a good one.
Yeah, he's definitely above average. I don't mind if you're making multiple lineups. If that's where you want to pull some value out of, I don't mind it. He's definitely going to be low owned, and it's pretty good. So,
all right. Any other power forward? I'm sorry. Any other small forwards you want to talk about before we get to the power side of things?
Kyle Anderson is on some kind of tear.
Is he? Okay. Yeah.
I think most of it's been with Rudy Gay out. But his production slipped a little. Actually, he was just out one game.
The consistency is there for Kyle. I'm glad you brought him up.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks is playing the minutes, just not doing much with it. I mean, Not really a lot.
All right. So. All right. All right. We will continue the small forward discussion on the Slack channel. But let's get to the power forward position. Got some nice moves here. All right. AD got ejected last game. Going to be asked about it. But is this a nice little come out and smash spot here against Utah, who, by the way, back in them back to back, give them a downgrade defensively, and also, you know, again, as it's been for the last however many games, no Rudy Gobert. So, again, not a spot that, you know, we should be afraid of here.
No, absolutely not. I mean, AD and Boogie, shocking, are two of the highest rated guys on my board tonight.
I dig. A spot that has been pretty easy to attack, but a guy that isn't necessarily an attacking sort of guy, but Draymond Green here against the Orlando Magic. I mean, teams put up fantasy points in bunches, or I'm sorry, power forwards put up fantasy points in bunches against Aaron Gordon, who's just not a good defender at all. And then let's bring Aaron Gordon into the discussion here, since we're talking about him with that last game. He will get that matchup against Draymond Green, though. That's for certain. So, what's the deal here?
Yeah, I'd much rather go to Vooch over Aaron Gordon tonight. I mean, I think Aaron Gordon's going to get chased a little bit. His price is all the way up to 7,900. Draymond Green is going to take it a little bit personally. There's been a lot of chatter around the NBA world that the Golden State Warriors are bored. That's why, you know, they're...
What was that one? I'm sorry.
That they're bored.
That they're bored.
Yes, they're bored. That they know they're going to be in the playoffs. They know they're going to have a high seed, and they're just going through the motions. That's why. Don't laugh at me. I'm telling you, there's a lot of chatter around the NBA honks that are saying this.
All right. Bored or not, you know, they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's why. That's part of the defense of them saying they're bored. Is like you're sitting there going. Really? Bored?
Who exactly said that they were bored?
I don't know their names. I've heard multiple places.
So these are like journalists maybe throwing the idea out there.
No, they're analysts too.
I don't know.
Whoever's on the show with Rachel Nichols and Tracy McGrady and yesterday they were talking about it on NBA Now or whatever it is.
The Jump, right?
Yeah, on Shoot Around. Or yeah, The Jump.
Okay.
Not a Tracy fan McGrady of that. And
maybe a Paul Pierce. Pierce. Okay. The Truth.
Yeah, so
not a former Net great.
Yeah, they were spitting knowledge. Well, he's a former great. He's a former Nets, therefore he's a former Net great.
Well, I had to say not a former Net great. Basically, well, not single-handedly tore down the future of the Nets for a while, but whatever. I'll try to get over it. When you said that, I thought you said like Magic players were saying that the Warriors were bored or something like that. So again, I'm hearing things. It's a Friday, man. It's a Friday. Here's an interesting spot that I like. Serge Ibaka against the Pacers.
I don't know.
4,900 going up against Chad Young.
What?
Chaddiest Young. I like to call him
Chad Young. I'm like, who the hell?
I don't know. Some, like, I know it's that Young.
Not just that, it's also against, you know, it's also against Domantas Sabonis, so.
The unfortunate thing for Serge Ibaka, what he likes to do is go out there, have a massive first quarter, and okay, I'm done. He will not be entertained by the idea of putting up numbers in the second half. That's just not how Serge Ibaka rolls. But, again, this is just a matchup that I've been keeping an eye on here. Power forwards against the Pacers.
Breaking news.
No.
Tiger is back.
Tiger is back.
He did have a fantastic round.
You have no idea what he's doing right now.
Shot a 6-9 yesterday. What did he do today?
Oh, my gosh. He's landing three woods 10 feet away from the freaking hole.
I love it.
And setting up eagle putts.
When Tiger is in pin seeker mode, remember the old Tiger Woods game? Dun, 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 dun. And your controller's going ape shit, and you like can't even hold on to it because it's shaking so much. Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember those days. My favorite. Now, when I was in college, I played with three other guys. We would always have a Tiger Woods competition, like every day. Like it was just standard procedure. Like boom, this is the time that it happens. It's going down. So the Eagle extravaganzas, like that was always a big to do. Like anytime Eagle extravaganza, and everybody would just go nuts when it would happen. It was good. It's a good time.
Yeah. I used to just, and then you'd sit there and you could spin the ball.
Oh yeah.
My God. I used to pull some spins out.
I was more of a power boost.
Tiger Woods is in the lead, by the way.
He's in the lead?
Yes.
This is great news. Now on
golf is a better sport when Tiger is absolutely
that is 150% true. Here on the local Michael Kay show on ESPN Radio here in New York, they do a Tiger watch, and it's a big to do by Peter Rosenberg, much to the chagrin of Michael Kay, who could care less. But
it's -8.
Tiger watch. All right, so we've got the Bulls here back in of a back to back. Their power forward situation is interesting there. Lauri Markkanen and Bobby Portis. Any interest here? Or any maybe like the Zeebo side of things going up against the youngins?
No, I mean, I like Lauri Markkanen. He works from the perimeter. And, you know, I had him last night at 4% against Denver. And he was not awesome, but he was pretty good. The problem is right now you've got Bobby Portis back in there. David Nwaba came back and played, I think, 20 minutes last night.
Big Nwaba fan.
The Bulls are getting healthy, and there's no telling what Frank Hoiberg's going to start doing with his rotation. So,
Good call. All right, so Nwaba, he didn't even play last night, but he is back.
I thought he did.
I don't know. That's what the game log says.
I thought I saw that he played 15 minutes.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. Who the hell knows?
Maybe I'm wrong. No, I guess not. But he was available to play, so.
Let us talk about this guy, because I'm a fan.
Tiger just gripping and ripping, Bobby. Oh, my God.
Derek Favors here. Now, he is on the back end of a back-to-back. We've seen guys, you know, be neat, like, right? Like, the Jazz, they need Derek Favors tonight against Boogie and AD. There's a huge necessity for this. I mean, what other bigs are the Jazz throwing out there at these guys?
Jonas Jerebko.
So my point has been made immediately, right? Like, they need Favors out there a lot tonight. You know, you want to put Ekpe Udo out there.
I mean, they could, right?
I guess. Looking at it, man. He played. Ekpe Udo has been logging some minutes. I mean, again, going up against Nola, you need these big guys or they're going to end your night quick. So, I don't mind looking at the Jazz to see who could potentially get a minute uptick here in this situation. But those guys look to be Udo and Jerebko. My God. Pray for the Jazz tonight.
Well, we say that, and then we look up the scoreboard, and all of a sudden it's a 4-point game going into the 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you know?
Yeah. Shining out. Back to my main point, though. I think Derek Favors is going to have a lot on his plate here tonight going up against Nola. So I don't mind going back to him. I know it's a back end of a back-to-back game, but again, like they need him bad for this matchup.
Yeah, and he only played, 27 minutes. I say only, but, I don't think you can play him at 7,400.
All right.
Like, you've got to for him to be, he's reached his ceiling or his price point now to where I can't touch him. Because at 7,400, I want him in a faster matchup, like a Denver game, you know?
Yeah.
I want him in a paced up. And last night, it just, I mean, he still did okay.
Mm-hmm. I had him. He was on my team.
He didn't hurt you, but he definitely didn't help you either.
No. Just wanted to throw out there, too, I briefly brought up Zeebo, but Chicago, while they've done pretty good against the center position, according to AEDVP, the power forward spot has been quite vulnerable. This actually makes Chicago the best matchup on tonight's slate for a power forward. So keep Zeebo in mind when.
Oh yeah, I love Zeebo.
When thinking about it. All right. There was one more power forward I wanted to mention before we moved on. Oh, the Miami situation without Hassan Whiteside. I'm intrigued.
Bam Bam.
There. Not necessarily Bam Bam, but maybe like a James Johnson. Kelly Olynyk.
I was looking at Kelly Olynyk. He got 25 minutes.
I'm a Kelly Olynyk fan, except for when he dislocated Kevin Love's shoulder. I thought that was that was a Bush League move. They actually squared up against each other this week too.
We all have a lapse in judgment.
That's true.
Every once in a while.
So is that why you're apologizing for his man bun ponytail sort of thing? Was that where you were going?
Okay. I just say that because it keeps the hair out of his face. I mean, you can't fault him for that.
All right. So with Olynyk, at least he's played at least 22 minutes in three of the last four games. Looks like he's starting to get some comfortability back within that Heat rotation. I mean, Olynyk's done a fine job when he gets the minutes. That's just been the whole issue with him, really not being able to get in a groove. But like if you take a look at Olynyk earlier this season, I mean he had some pretty big performance. There's a four game span where he posted at least 30 fantasy points. Actually, let's go a step further. Let's round up one and make it four or five games that he had, you know, the area there, 30 fantasy points. So again, I think this is a spot that he could do well in. Probably going to get those minutes once again. So I'm thinking about you, Kelly Olynyk. James Johnson too. Thinking about you. Thinking about you, kids. All right, that's it for me for power forward. You good?
Yeah.
Super duper. Let's talk about centers and end the shindig. Where are we looking here?
DeMarcus Cousins. I know I'm going to get a lot of questions about Karl Anthony Towns and his 66 that he put up against Oklahoma City. I have to go back and actually look at some of the things in that game. Because he only put up a 42 the first time. Now, it could have been because he was at home. I know that Oklahoma City absolutely just blew them out of the waters in Minnesota.
Beautiful waters in Minnesota.
So I have to go back and look.
Okay. Now we were just talking about that Miami situation. No Whiteside, Bam Adebayo.
No.
Did not give us the upside that we needed last time, and that was in a matchup against Enes Kanter, who Enes Kanter absolutely schooled this youngin. Like he got dominated in that game. Now, keep in mind, no Kristaps Porzingis. So he had, you know, more rebound opportunities. But again, with seeing Enes Kanter physically dominate, Bam Bam. Dwight Howard certainly is appealing to me.
Dwight Howard is, yes.
Man, Cam, if Enes Kanter physically dominated you, imagine.
Yeah. Well, Enes Kanter is a little bit more skilled. Enes Kanter is a little bit more skilled offensively than, you know, Dwight Howard. Like, Dwight Howard's the better player because he brings some defensive prowess.
It's a household name.
That too. But, you know, it's not like Enes Kanter is bad offensively. I mean,
no,
he's one
no,
of the best
not
offensive rebounders in the NBA.
My 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 pointing out here was just that, like, physical domination. It was, you know.
Like, oh no, exactly. And
like if you were walking,
on here's a question for you.
You wouldn't cross it, you know.
Here's a question for you.
You just go along your way.
Dwight Howard or Nikola Vucevic? Same price.
Yeah. I gotta say Howard here. Just because I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll with this attack Bam Bam thing.
Okay. And Dwight Howard or Steven Adams going against Minnesota.
That is a juicy matchup as well.
That's why I just asked it.
Okay. I just wanted to point out here with Howard, last six games, he's hit at least 5x in five of those six. So he's playing pretty well here.
The question I want to know is if, like, Andre Iguodala ruled out, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and David West will play.
Iggy out, you
Iggy
said?
Iggy out. Everybody Iggy else out. Is in.
Okay. Which I think is kind of interesting because, obviously it's still a good matchup here for Curry.
Yeah, but it takes away the... The McCaw Swaggy P combo.
Right.
So,
yeah, I got you. Yeah. So basically, with that, I was saying, you know, people might say, "Oh, I'm not going to Curry now with Clay back in." But again, still a good matchup that you can take.
Are you kidding me? I hope everybody says that.
Hey, that's what I'm thinking. All right. Other
FanDuel
matchups.
Popping off. Is 11 putts through 9 holes good? Is it?
Wow. That's nuts.
Oh, I love today. It's going to be an awesome day.
Keith, I didn't realize how big of a Tiger fan you were. I've never seen you like this.
When Tiger is good, like, I just love it because, like, especially with everybody trashing him over the last 5 to 10 years.
Oh, it's been a free-for-all season, like, with Tiger.
For him to come out and come back finally, like, I've just been waiting for this moment, like, for him to just come out and give the middle finger to everybody.
It's a solid middle finger that he's posting right now. We got some pretty damn good matchups here that we should take a look at, right? So now I might, with my Zebo backtrack, if he plays minutes at the center, right, we see how the Bulls have been doing against centers. I mean, hell, they knocked Nikola Jokic out of the game last night. What? But in that same game, here's an interesting situation, right? Like, there's been plenty of times that we've loved to attack Sacramento with the center position. Could it be a sneaky Rolo night? Now, I know they're on the back end of back-to-back after playing in Denver last night. Not the greatest, you know, outlook coming into tonight, but could Rolo be sneaky?
No.
You don't think that sideshow Bob hair maybe accumulated some of the high elevation in
how
Denver?
Disappointed are we in Lonzo Ball for shaving his head, because he was the new sideshow Bob. Like, his hair looked better.
Sure.
Looked exactly like it.
I mean, you gotta think. I have a relationship with Robin Lopez because his twin brother, you know, was the center of my basketball team for so many years. So, yeah, that is some favoritism. I will always dig Robin Lopez's hair.
No. I think he just needs to shave it one day. No, I don't play Robin Lopez. I'm sorry.
Okay. Wow, strong.
Yeah. I do have some interest in Willie Cauley-Stein here, though, because here's the reason. It is 34 minutes against Denver with no Nikola Jokic last night, 27.7. In fact, he has broken 35 at 5,300, 35 one time this year.
He's only had
four games over 30.
I'm going to have to dig into why he started out so well. I guess that's because, you know, no Bobby Portis in the lineup.
Well, in good matchups. I mean, you're talking about Atlanta, which is a great matchup. That was his ceiling game at 35.6 in 36 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, against Toronto, 32. 30 minutes against Phoenix, only 27. Against the Lakers, 32 minutes, only 22. I mean, it's not like Robin Lopez is not going to be the guy that beats me tonight.
No, he will certainly not.
Like, okay, and that's what we talk about with, like, flowcharts and stuff. To quote an Al Smizzle term, like, flowcharts are great, but if the guy's got no ceiling, then just don't do it.
Here's a juicy matchup, right? Been able to pick on the Pacers down low at the center position. Valanciunas played 22 minutes last game against the Hornets, which was his most since mid-month, where he played 28. Valanciunas, 4,500 on FanDuel. What if, okay, in a world where Valanciunas comes out like a barnstormer in the first part of the first quarter and the third quarter, because that's Jonas Valanciunas time. Every other time in the game, not Jonas Valanciunas time. But what if he comes out like a barnstormer in each of those quarters? I know we're asking for a lot here, but the matchup's good enough to do it. 4,500, can you take the chance?
Can I just play Jan Mahimi instead?
You can do whatever the hell you want, man. It's America.
I mean, dude, we're talking about Jonas Valanciunas and freaking Robin Lopez. Like,
they're good matchups, right?
Play Marcin Gortat instead. Play Al Jefferson. Play Zaza. I mean, honestly, you could probably make a case for Cody Zeller or Zaza Pachulia tonight.
I'm a Cody Zeller fan. Don't joke around with that.
No, I'm not. Cody Zeller at 3,700. Now, I want him to play more than 15 minutes, but going up against Miami, you can...
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely see, like, would it shock me if he plays 29 minutes and goes for 35? No. But, like, that means he's playing some at the four. It means they're going bigger. Like, there's just nobody that I really want to play that is that down, like, that far down.
Okay.
Now
you did mention Steven Adams. Karl Anthony Towns has been brutal against or on the defensive end of things. So
yeah, 63 at Willie Cauley-Stein is as low as I'm gonna go. Steven Adams has absolutely just had phenomenal games in this matchup before. He had a 44 against them at home, which is the same exact scenario as we're getting. He had 17 and 13. He's still playing the minutes. Now, he got cut down a couple, but Orlando, he got into foul trouble. And Dallas, I think he got – Orlando, he played 6 minutes in the first half.
Yikes.
Because he was in such foul trouble. Like, it was – he picked up two fouls, and they were – oh, my God, were they ticky-tack.
See, we need that kind of information. Look here too for Adams, his last two home games, you know, both double doubles in those games, so respectable totals to go along there as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering what his.
I'm just looking at this right now. He does in a home game this season. He doesn't have less than 30 FanDuel points.
Except for the three that he missed. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy that likes sleeping in his bed.
Yeah, loves the home linens, hates the hotel sheets. They're good.
I don't know. It's Willie Cauley-Stein and Steven Adams. That's as low as I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, it's the higher end for everybody else.
We didn't even talk about Boogie, and there's some other ones here. All right, we'll talk about Boogie and Drummond, all right? We'll have the same discussion about both guys. So Drummond, remember, he had that massive game. What was that, Monday?
Yeah, something like that. Early in the week, we faded him. Predictably, he crashed.
Indeed, but that was because of the massive ass-kicking that they were putting on Phoenix.
I don't care.
Not interested going back here to Drummond against Marcin Gortat.
I don't mind it. I mean, this game without Wall should be a little bit closer. Beal slated the play. It's a good matchup for him. I don't mind going to Drummond. As long as I don't have to stare at his picture the whole night, I'm
pretty
fine.
Harsh. Harsh.
His FanDuel picture does not do him justice, okay?
Let me see here. Okay. Not a handsome man. Fair enough.
So.
Okay, we've got that. And then just lastly, before we cut the cord on the pod, for the week, actually, very excited. But DeMarcus Cousins against the Jazz again. Yes. They're gonna be very undersized.
Yes.
Okay, I like it.
Boogie is always in play.
Yes, I know.
Boogie was the freaking voice of reason the other night when AD was going ballistic. Like it was like somebody put Boogie's body or Boogie's temper in AD's body and vice versa.
Hey, they're not traditional centers, but they're big guys, just two guys that and again going up against OKC tonight, but Taj Gibson, Gorgie Dang.
No, Gorgeous Dang will not play. That you play him against New Orleans and you only play him against New Orleans.
And
unless
then
Carl Anthony Towns gets in the foul trouble.
Taj Gibson gonna draw that matchup with Lazy Mello. So
that one is one that we forgot to talk about.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up for the end.
So
and yeah, Taj Gibson last however, I mean what, 5 games? Good. It's all good, with the exception of that game against Miami. But my God, look at the minutes that Taj Gibson is playing.
Well, we know this. They absolutely just run their starters into the ground. So I'm not.
Wow. And again, at 5,500, beware, my friends. All right, that's going to do it for today's podcast. If you're not a member of the DFS Army and like what you heard, want to hear it all day? Well, you could do so. DFSArmy.com. Use that promo code podcast to get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. The Geek has his Vegas Lines podcast out, so certainly give that a listening to if you have not done so yet. And once again, thank you to everybody, you know, download the podcast, listening, and all the new members that we've had this month. All that incoming flux of people has certainly made our lives better. It's awesome that we get to talk and help more people out throughout the course of the day. So again, thank you very much for tuning in and being a member of the Army. We all appreciate it. And again, just more continued success going into the month of December. It's the holiday season. We're trying to get your family Xboxes and PlayStations this holiday season, right? That's what you want. You don't want to buy anybody new socks, right? That's not a good holiday gift. PlayStations and Xboxes this year. And maybe a pontoon boat, like somebody mentioned yesterday. Somebody was telling me maybe I don't have to go for the yacht because, you know, it's a lot of upkeep, a lot of wasted money there on a yacht, especially living in Jersey, right? You only get like 4 or 5 months of water season, but perhaps a pontoon boat could be a better investment. I don't know. I'm going to look into it. But, again, for me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, have a good weekend, but we go.
Peace out.